Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. You and I are radiating by choice, hopefully. Actually, we always radiate what we're feeling inside, what our soul is radiating. But, you know, as you change the energy, you change the reality. And so on this show, what we're learning to do is raise our fields and frequencies and radiate out there so that we can create the reality we want. Because as your vibrations stick out of your body, mind, if they're uplifting, that creates much more uplifting stuff in your life, much more uplifting outcomes. So that's the purpose of this show, is to share with you some meditations. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I like to talk to you from the point of view of my guides and angels, giving you some perspective on what's going on in your life. So this is a call-in show all about you. And I'm hoping that some of you will call in tonight and talk about relationships, talk about, oh my goodness, it's beautiful. I'm looking at the trees here. I'm visiting some people in Santa Cruz, beautiful Santa Cruz. And I just turned around and it's been rainy. And all of a sudden the light and the sunlight is coming through all these trees. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And that right there just shifts our frequency, doesn't it? So anyway, this is a show that's got, we're going to do a meditation together because it's really important to be with people where you consciously raise the fields and frequency in kind of in a collective way, because then you actually send out a huge sort of a big balloon of positive energy out there, and it's contagious. Other people hitch a ride in it, and they feel better, and they feel lifted. So I always want to do a coherent meditation, so we all do it together. And after that, I'd love you to call in and talk about what's going on in your life. Tell me what are the questions you're asking yourself? What is it that's either pulling you down or challenging you, and how can we help you get through? My guides and angels are really good at seeing where we're, you know, we've got a little hook in us, or things are stuck in us, or help us shift the energy and help you get out of the little pocket you might be stuck in. So again, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I've been on tour for about a month now, almost a month, in Santa Cruz, in L.A., in Tucson, visiting with all kinds of wonderful people. And here we are talking to you all over the world, because this is global radio, isn't it? So I'm expecting you to call in a wee bit, so let's all close our eyes unless you're riding a unicycle on the edge of a cliff or something like that. Close your eyes, and let's all take a couple of deep breaths to clear our energy field. And let's do it. We'll do a quicker meditation tonight. Let's call in above your head a golden ball about 2 miles up above your head. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And then you shoot a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. That means you're on a skewer, aren't you? Now, from the upper golden ball, drop a four-sided pyramid. That's right. And it's about waist height. And then upside down, another four-sided pyramid, but its point goes into the lower golden ball. And when you have those two pyramids meeting each other, you've created a diamond. Can you see and feel that diamond around you? And you notice that it feels different when you do that. That's where we're consciously creating the influences that create our frequency or bounce our frequencies around so that they're higher. Now, around that, you create, inside of that, you create a crystal ball, and the crystal ball pushes the inside edges of your octahedron, your eight-sided structure, your diamond shape. So there the crystal ball is, and look at all the colors. It's got a beautiful spectral colors in it. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron. That's the three-dimensional star of David. Good. And now whilst you're in that star tetrahedron, and this is really important, you can apply this to a lot of mundane experiences. Get that star spinning and spinning and spinning. Now you're inside of it, right? And as it spins and spins, some of you really get dizzy, right? At least I sure do. And as you spin and spin and spin, look at the screen in front of you. And the first screen is going to be a movie that you're creating of what it is you want to become. I always say the same thing every week. I want to become consciously multidimensional. I want to be able to see and experience life in different dimensions all at once. Somebody else, a good friend, was talking today about parallel realities. And I go, yeah, I don't want to just talk about those things. I want to actually experience them. I want to know what it is to be in parallel realities in a feeling sense, in a comprehensive sense. So it's kind of like that, only it's also the fact that we're all different dimensions, you are and I am, and I just really want to have more and more of that comprehension. What is it you want to become? It doesn't have to be what I'm saying, does it? So there we, as we spin and spin and spin, and we see ourselves becoming whatever it is you want to become. Good. And then as you feel you're getting to your goal, right, then wrap yourself in light, move that whole picture to the left, be really proud of yourself that you've achieved it. And let's do the second little movie. And the second movie is you creating what you want to create. Some people want to create home and family. Somebody wants to write a book. Somebody wants to make a movie. Somebody wants to do a world trip. Somebody wants to ride a spaceship out into the universe, right? So what is it you want to create? So see yourself. See all the resources coming, the time, the money, the people, the know-how, for you to create the dream that you've got. Good. And as you do create that dream, look, all the pieces come together. And just see yourself happily, happily creating that dream. Good. And then when it's achieved, when it's accomplished, then see all the resources coming to you so that you can sustain your dream. Whatever your project is, you want to sustain it. You want to keep it going for as long as it wants to go. And see all the bits and pieces coming together and making it easy. And then you dust your hands together with a great deal of satisfaction, wrap that in light, and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the galactic. Am I going too fast for some of you? Looks like I am. Now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. This is our multidimensional hospital situation, right? And see yourself there with a beautiful healing table. And around the table, there's our healing guides that come out of our team, our special team. And the first person to come in and lie on the table is you, or me in my case. Good, now as you lie on the table, the healing team will tell you what it is you need to work on. Either that, or if you're, you know, suffering from something, you tell them what you'd like them to help you with. There you are. Good. And then what happens is you can really feel the light, the energy coming through you from your guides and angels. And they might be talking to you and telling you what it is you personally need or what it is you're going to work on. Yeah. Can you feel that? And as you get the idea of what they're doing with you, if you get the idea that they're actually working with you to improve some circumstance or do some healing, good. And then you just wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And remember, our team is magical, so it can replicate itself. So what you do is you put in a fresh healing table and ask the team to replicate themselves around the healing table. And then let's ask to bring someone in. And what I'm seeing is somebody who has a great deal of, I guess it's intestinal problems. This person is feeling, it's Crohn's disease, I believe. It's a young woman. Maybe she's in her 30s. So to me, that's young, but that isn't young for everybody. And she comes onto the table. Now, remember where the Crohn's disease is in her subconscious storage area in the second chakra with some overspill into the solar plexus, which is their personal power center. So we see this young lady lying on the table, and what they're doing, it's interesting because that team is pulling out of her base chakra a lot of, and her head, you see? They're pulling out of the head and the base chakra a great deal of old belief structure. And she's starting to perk up. Yes, she is. And they're running energy or pulling. They're not really running energy as much as they're pulling out of her great stream of energy of how she felt that she was, how she believed herself to be. That's it. That's it. And exaggerate that. The thing is, it's in the belly, but it's also in her head, and it's in her belief structure in her head. Now we're going back into the belly and feel the energy that the guides are using to pull things out of the belly, that's old beliefs, subconscious things, and also the other hand, or some of them have their hands on her head and they're pulling streams out of the head that are connected to the belly. Remember, your neurotransmissions are created, first of all, in your intestinal tract, in your belly. So that's kind of interesting because they're making sure they pull at both of them, and they're also pulling out of her legs. So let's exaggerate that. And then wrap that in light and move it over to the left. Okay, now we have a fresh table, a fresh healing table. And then we're going to bring in a man, a gentleman. And he's, I think he's depressed. He's very heavy and he's older and he's retiring. But he, his diet is awful, but it seems like he's just kind of wanting to die. It's very, very frustrating, and his wife is ready to tear her hair out. Now, you can have different people on the table, but I'm going to talk through this one. You don't have to use what I've got, but you can if you like. And the healing team has replicated itself around this table. And this gentleman, there he is, he's hopeless. What he was one of those special forces back in the Second World War, special forces guy. And what's happened as he gets older is that he can't seem to recover from some of the things. It's like a PTSD. He can't seem to recover from some of the things that he experienced or even perpetrated back then. So they're pulling again on his head, right into his brain pattern. And they're pulling out from his heart. And they're also pulling out of his belly. Because whether or not, you know this, if whether you live or whether you die, it's really interesting because you take it with you. So even if this fellow is not going to live, because I know that his life is teetering, he's still better to get rid of a lot of the things that are stored in there. You know, the old belief structure? There you are. And so they're pulling a lot of things out of his belly and out of his brain and out of his heart, where his heart has been crushed. So instead of loving his older years, he's just sort of perched there, living on ice cream and television and waiting to die, essentially, because he can't really face the pain, if that makes sense. Yeah. And so what they're doing is pulling out a lot of the beliefs, pulling out of his brain a lot of the gooey, seems like he lives on ice cream, a lot of gooey, mucusy stuff going on in there, and that's really hard on the body. So they're running their hands across him and pulling it out. Good. Now you can feel there's a whole pressure in his heart chakra area, and that's good. That means that something is being released. The other thing the guides are doing is putting him in that double tetrahedron or that diamond shape that's golden and spinning and spinning and spinning him. There you go, because that lifts his frequency, change the energy, change the reality. Now wrap him in light and move him over to the side. And whoever you're working on, let's take a cut on that and move that person over to the side. And now let's do our political one. My partner just sent me a really interesting article that they from the New York Times saying they have found a huge, huge, I think it's something like $30 trillion that have been stashed by some people from around the world who have a little more money than most of us do, and they've stashed it in offshore accounts, and it's like way up in the trillions. And now it's being shown, it's being, you know, the old thing about it, we always say it's the book of Revelations, everything's being revealed, and corruptions are being revealed, and Europe is suffering, and America is really suffering, and all over the world, financially, it's like who do these people think they are to be entitled to medical care and all that sort of stuff. But there are people with absolutely piles and piles and piles of money and keeping them in offshore accounts. And apparently they've just revealed who names of those people all over the world and, you know, what it means. That I was just reading it wondering, does that mean that there's going to be a little bit more of an even distribution of wealth? Does that mean that because it's been discovered and all the names are discovered, that we're going to see a healing, that we're going to see a rebalancing of things, that we're seeing a way of putting the world back together? Or what do you think? Do you think it's like some of these people say, that there's a few trying to get rid of a whole lot of people on the planet so they can have it to themselves? I don't know. I don't even know what to believe, but I do know this. Let's put that on the table. Let's bring that economic reality in and put it on our healing table. You got it there? That's the inequities of monies and services around the world. Because we always talked about the shift, and I really believe that there is a shift going on and that people are awakening in many ways, and a lot of that kind of balancing can happen when enough people awaken. So let's just see, as we put them on the table, we'll put this whole system of a few hiding their money tax-free offshore while countries go broke and so on. So let's just see the lights. Let's call in these great universal downloads that you and I have heard lots about, these incredible flashing downloads. Amit Bhagavan always says that there's this tremendous golden light coming in through the universe that's going to, like acupuncture, get us all to expand and feel higher frequency energies, and not only feel them, but incorporate them in our beingness. So you, as an energy body, will be a much higher frequency being. So let's imagine up above you that you can see, some of you can actually see them, these high frequency energies that are being downloaded from the universe, and feel them as they come in through the top of your head, circle around and round and round in your brain, your neck, which is consciousness of self, through the shoulders, and they run sparkling down your arms and out your hands, right? And then as they go through your hands, you want to run them through the heart too. They come down through the shoulders and they run round and round and round in the heart, then back up to the shoulders and down your arms and out your hands. And then see yourself directing those higher frequency energies up through the perineums, or I guess that's pretty personal, huh? And send them up through the feet of all these different characters that are involved in this particular economic reality. So let's just infuse or imbue all these beings with consciousness, because these are the vibrations of awakening consciousness. There you go, awakening consciousness, and have these frequencies move up through the body mind of all the people you can imagine that are sitting on our table that have to do with the offshore accounts and the trillions and trillions of tax-free dollars that are sitting there. There you are. Because the world is really split right now, isn't it? And it is possible to feed everyone, to do amazing healing all over the world. And I'm always praying that that's actually going to happen, that the shift can really go on. So again, flood all these beings with light. Good. All these beings with light. That's it. Move them up. And then one more time, bring the light back into your hands. You know how we had it flooding down through your hands. And whilst it, just put it round and round and round this group on the table. And now I want you to take a minute and pat various parts of the world where you know there's many sick people, many poor people, there's geological changes, there's a lot of storms, there's a lot of difficulties going on. I want you to pat with this wonderful golden light the various parts of our planet that are all kind of besieged with huge, huge challenges, and be like like a tender, caring being. You're patting gently all these beautiful frequencies around and around and around our planet until it's just radiant. Can you see it just radiant with gold light? Then the alien beings who are supposed to be coming by to visit us any old minute, and I know a lot of them are here already, will see that we can be very conscious, that we can really look after one another and heal our planet. So have this light go round and round and round your planet, round and round and round your planet, round and round and round your planet, and then have it come up your hands, your arms, and circle around once it gets to the shoulders. It circles around in your chest, pops back up again through the neck, right out through the top of your head, and way out into the great central sun. You see it out there? And now it turns around and it drops back down through your head and into the soles, all the way down your body, into the soles of your feet, and right into the core of the earth. Now we're going to jump into the turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center. We're going to jump into the Star Tetrahedron. Give yourself another little spin, spin and spin and spin. It's like being at the circus, isn't it? And now jump here with me. And now I want you to call in. Take a look at the numbers that are on your screen. And I'd really love it if you would call in with your questions. I talked to a lot of you about somebody named William Henry that we saw in Tucson last weekend. And it was really, really interesting because as we talk about the inequities on our planet and we talk about, oh, where's it all going? One of the things that was fascinating to me is he was talking about art and spiritual art from the time, you know, from the time that history began, whether he was talking about the Catholic or Christian art or whether he was talking about Tibetan, it didn't matter which subject, Hindu and so on. He's talking about how hidden in the pictures, the beautiful spiritual pictures that you and I have seen all over the place, famous pictures like, oh, the Ascension of Christ, the Resurrection, or Paeta, and all these different very, very holy pictures. If you're really smart and really careful and you pay attention, he claims that, and this might just be a good idea, I don't know, I haven't sat with it enough to really get it, but he claims that these are all instruction manuals in many ways for us to move out of being stuck in this craziness of the third dimension. Instead of being stuck, we're being taught to move up and move up and move up so that our frequencies rise. And then we're also being taught by these pictures, for example, to rise up out of our bodies and move through many, many levels of consciousness. And, you know, being multidimensional. He talked about how, and I think I mentioned this in last week's show, but anyway, he talked about how the Russians talk about out there in the galactic centers all over the place, there are all kinds of civilizations like ours that blow themselves up, boom, and that's the end of that. Because we're at zero level, the zero consciousness level. And he says you can tell that by how people harvest the energies they need. And our way of harvesting energy is to destroy the environment. But he said the next level is they don't destroy the environment. They learn to work in harmony with what we're talking about today, which is bringing in high-frequency energies that are being downloaded through the universes from different galaxies. Oh, my gosh. And you can test this. Just lift your hands up with your palms up in the air and call in some of the changing frequencies, and you will feel them. It's really amazing. And that oh, goody, you're on the air, but just wait 1 minute, and then I'll finish my sentence here. It's just very interesting that if we accept that we can bring in energy, free energy from beyond the third dimension, we don't have to harvest our energy in a destructive fashion, do we? So then we begin to go from level zero into level one in terms of consciousness, and maybe we can even save the planet. So let's give that a thought while we talk to our caller. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Veronica.
Hi.
It's Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim from Louisiana. How are you doing? Are you calling in golden frequencies?
I'm doing my best.
Me too. I was hoping that it makes your hair curl, or maybe you already have curly hair, do you?
Kind of curly.
Okay. I don't, but I keep thinking it. Go ahead.
this might be beyond the pale, but just kind of bear with me. So, I read in the 70s a book, and this guy said he had this magic, it was a book about ESP, about extrasensory perception.
Okay.
It's a little tiny book, I don't remember the author. So he said, maybe Brad Steiger, I don't remember who it was. So he said he had this magic pocket, and he would, in this raincoat, and he would always find $5 in it. And he concluded in his life eventually that he was somehow magically able to materialize the $5. And so that's just one instance. Then I did a 2007 private kind of workshop thing. There were like 12 of us, and we did it with two people that were doing prosperity kind of thing. So
okay.
Then there's a woman at the end of the thing, and she says, you know what? I have this magic purse. And she says, I don't know how to do it, how I do it, but, like, I can pull 20s and 5s out of the bottom of the purse. Like, magic, she said.
Wow.
And I even have family and my husband who tease me about it. Okay? Okay?
Wow.
So still with me? Okay. Then, right. Then I listened to, like, Ann Streber and whoever she has. It may be Marla, Marva, something. And they talk about how they can... They both believe this, okay? They can materialize, like, if they need something like eggs or milk or toilet paper in their house, like, they set an intent that they need to go get it, and then they don't go get it, but it's there, okay? And then Abraham, Esther Hicks, talks about how Abraham is playing with a child and decides to surprise that child with money for their birthday. And suddenly there's lots and lots of money all over the place. Well, it's just... And then Rika Zimmerman, a recent workshop she does, you know? And it's like, okay, and nobody seems to be talking about it. And she says, it's all imaginary anyway. Money is always all an illusion anyway. So why can't we just all of us manifest more of it, add zeros to our bank accounts, you know? So I don't know. I just think it, and it might be beyond the pale, but it just, it seems so exciting.
Well, have you been able to do it, Kim?
Well, truthfully, not that
truthfully
I've observed.
Is important, huh?
Yeah, not that I've observed. Except it does seem to flow much better when I set expectations that it's going to flow much better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in my head. In my head, I had like a two-month period where I thought, okay, I'm not going to make it. And I did make it with lots of ease. And I had, you know, because I needed to do it, I moved, I did Christmas, I did a major trip, and all this on the same at the same month. But then once I got settled, I realized, you know, because I had deferred everything and floated everything. And then it was kind of difficult for a couple months. But, and I'm still kind of coming out of that. So, but it seems to me partly that it was the partly psychological thing that was kind of, but even there are people, you know, the whole teleportation thing, the whole levitation thing, the whole walk on water thing, the whole bread into wine. I mean, water into wine thing. All this that's, you know, that we're coming into it. That's a fifth dimension, you know. And nobody really is talking about it, but they're talking around it, and it's kind of exciting to me.
Yeah, but why aren't they talking about it?
I think they're talking about it because it's just too beyond the pale. You know,
well, because
like
we can't seem
you
to do it. At least some of us don't do it very well. I would really talk about it a lot if I could just do it, but I don't want to talk about it and not be able to quite get it done.
I think, yeah. But I also think, like, people think, well, if you really talk about it, you've got to be a loon because nobody could really do it. But do I believe this woman when she said she had a magic purse? Do I believe Abraham when she said, Esther when she said Abraham had a lot of money, you know, coming out on the floor or whatever? Do I believe? Absolutely, I do believe that.
I do, too. I really believe that, too. And remember the Sai Baba? Remember Sai Baba?
Yeah.
And he used to just open his hand, and as it unraveled, there would be a gem or a vibhuti or any of that sort of thing?
Yeah.
A bunch of us used
and
practice,
you know, like
that,
people would say, wouldn't people say to him, like, I love this quote, and where's all the money going to come from? And he'd laugh and say, wherever it is in the moment, that's where it's going to come from. Wherever it is, it's going to come from wherever it is.
But what I'm thinking is that, I mean, I love this, and I tend to want to believe it. But the thing is that I haven't, it's that simple, I haven't manifested it. But when I would say intellectually how it would happen, it would be that your belief structure would be so strong. And my guides always say the same thing. They go, 95% of the job is clearing. So I have a lot of old beliefs. So you've got beliefs in your fingers, in your arms, in your hands, in your belly. You know, we've got them all the way through our body, don't we? And that's what gets in the way. Sai Baba apparently had to be really careful about what he thought about because so much stuff would manifest instantaneously. And they always tell us, you know, that by the time we get to the fifth dimension, things will instantaneously manifest. So I think we're just climbing up the ladder to that.
Yeah. You know. I do kind of agree with that. And it's very exciting. You know, it's like anything is possible, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It does seem really, really true. And then so the other side of that coin, Veronica, is that, you know, when we wring our hands about the misuse of power and the, you know, the hoarding of the money offshore and all of that. But to me, it's like, okay, it's karma. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, well, so maybe they had poverty consciousness in a past life and now they have to overcompensate or something. You know, it doesn't seem to me to be such a big deal so much. I mean, it's an illusion all anyway. Of course, everybody can, you know, it's like, oh, well, she doesn't, you know, it's easy for her to write her check or pay her bills or whatever. Some months it is and some months it's not, you know.
I want to say, Kim, I kind of agree in a way, but I go, what is karma? Does that kind of give us an excuse not to improve our ability to manifest? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think it does.
Yeah.
I think it's about consciousness. A lot of us, and this is kind of important, a lot of people who don't have a lot of money will tell you, and I was talking to several people today who were saying this very thing, that they had not focused on money, illusory or not, they had not put that high on the list.
Yeah.
In most of their lives. And then most of the spiritual people I know have been like that. We, priority-wise, have not been putting it that way. So what you're saying is if, you know, if we're going to manifest $10 bills or $5 bills in our magic pockets, there's going to be a focus there. There's got to be a belief there. There's got to be, you know, and when I manifest at a higher level, usually I can't really think about it hard. I have to just, like, be it and believe it.
Yeah,
what?
You just have to feel about it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to feel about it hard in your
But
in
not
your
hard.
Feet, like,
for me, it's
heart.
Kind of magical. It goes, and then I don't even look. And very often that very thing will manifest.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when we're talking about go ahead.
I think there is, I think that you're right. There's a whole, this whole New Age community that has said, you know, you're not supposed to be financially successful and be spiritual at the same time. You're not supposed to charge for your services or be, you know, all those things. And I think there are. But when I think about the entire, like, the unwashed masses, you know, about all the people that are, you know, hungry and starving and not, you know, and have no medical care and, like, you know, like the third world countries. When I think about that, the only explanation I get, of course, and not as an excuse, I guess, to me, as a reality, is karma. You know, the only thing that explains it to me, the only way I can explain it to myself, you know, is, oh, yeah, it's karma. I mean, you know, they think that they need to pay for their sins in whatever way, and so they're on this wheel, you know, and can't get off. But a lot of us are getting off, right, with this oneness thing. Veronica, I'm so proud of you with you know, you've been on iTunes New and Noteworthy for a long time with Paradigm Sisters. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
You have been.
Boy,
yeah,
am I something, hey?
Yeah.
But I wanted to say something else. I want to go back to what you were saying about karma. And it's so funny that there's a line that goes, and you know this one, is it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven.
Yeah.
You've heard that, right? That's an ancient line, right? Okay, yeah. So one of the things I want to say that I've been fascinated by because of paradigm shifters is interviewing people about, for example, the Bhagavad Gita, which is all about somebody, people with power and people with money taking the homes, the resources, the land of people who, you know, unsuspecting and so on and so forth. But all the way through that, it's also talking about how the whole goal is to become loving, to become, you know, it's all the inner stuff.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? To become loving, to become kind, to be, give service, to become compassionate, doodly doodly do. And then I go right through the years. It's almost like we're living in a kind of an interesting play, and that the job is still the same, which is to become a better person, to become less defensive, to become more giving, to have love and compassion for the planet and one another. I mean, I think it doesn't matter how old our history is or how futuristic it is. I think there's a huge, and there's somebody coming on, which is good. There's a huge list of things that we're trying to improve in ourselves, and maybe that's all this is about. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, I find it really interesting, and I'd sure like to open my hand and put a jewel, have a jewel arise in it, but I haven't managed that yet. But I think I've managed to grow a lot and find a certain wealth in beingness, which is
what
you're
talking
about
as well. There might be people that do that in this world before we leave. I mean, there are people that do that in this world. You know,
you mean
what I
mean? The manifesting or just the love?
Yeah, well, not only the love and the manifesting. I mean, both.
Well, I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, may I join in this conversation?
Oh, here's my friend Mackie's got something to say.
Hi. I'm so fascinated with what the two of you are saying. And for me, talking about Veronica saying that people who are really interested in our spiritual growth and love are more apt to, before I met my husband, I saw the most gorgeous sunset, and I asked Spirit for someone that I could experience these wonderful times with, see these beautiful things and enjoy them together, someone who loves me that I and someone I love, and the person manifested. So I think, Kim, what you're saying to our heart, if our heart is involved and we really ask with sincerity, and heart energy, and it manifests. And I bet that's true with financial abundance as well.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we just dampen that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Mackie.
Well, thank both of you.
And I think we have someone else who's called in. But thank you, Kim. You've got us all thinking now, haven't you?
Thanks so much, Veronica. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. And you too, Kim. You've been through a lot. There's someone on the line. Are you there? Would you like to chat?
Hi, Veronica. It's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you?
I'm good. I was wondering if I have anything still to clear with my father.
Oh, interesting.
And actually, money was one of our big issues, actually.
Oh, did he have a lot?
No.
Okay. So I just want to say to the other person that's waiting online, if you'd be patient and just wait while we go into this question, I'd sure be glad to talk to you after. And what's your dad's name, Jaya?
His first name was Charles, but he was called Gary.
Of course. Well, he's you know what's really interesting about him is he is kind of questioning, like, how do I talk? He's, like, not really clear about how to talk to us right now. He's coming forward, and he's kind of moving back, as if he's very self-conscious, which is hilarious, because he is on the other side, right? And not that I'm laughing at Gary at all, just saying he's shy, and he's also strong. And he had a, let me see here. He's doing very well where he is right now. but he has a degree. I don't know how long he's been over there, but he's got a kind of a distance from this planet. I don't think he loved being alive on the planet.
He had a really, really challenging life. Yeah.
Well, that's what he's showing me, that he didn't really love being on the planet. So when we call him in to make these discussions, he's stepping forward because he loves you and because he wants to honor the connection which he finds that he's capable of, but a part of him wants to pull way back. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask him a specific question about it.
My question is, do he and I have things yet to clear? Emotional, karmic.
Yes, because one of the things that he wasn't was really connected with you. Do you understand?
I do.
And there was a part of you, the cellular connection between the two of you would be refreshed or healed if he could, or you could, if you could really get connected with each other. Because he really, just by the same token as he's coming forward and pulling back, that's how he approached most relationships, and certainly with you. And that's something that's been very, very difficult for you as a beautiful young girl and all of that in your life. It's been very difficult because, you know, as we know, the girl gets her self-esteem from her father, really. Mm-hmm. And there's been a hesitation in there for you. And that if he wanted to do a healing with you, and I'm going to start crying, which is him, that there is a mm-hmm. part of him that would really like to achieve that with you.
Uh-huh.
Now that he's got this, he's been there for a while, hasn't he?
1964.
Yeah, that's a while. But
he's
showing, as we talk with him, he's showing a deepening and a chosen integration, meaning not a natural one, but he's learning to choose it. And when you say, what can we do to heal our relationship, that is the major thing. It's being willing to be connected. And I think you're going to find over time, sometimes this kind of work takes a while, but you're going to find over time that there's a change in how you feel about your father, as if he will come forward in a way. I don't think he'll jump in front of you like a Steven Spielberg movie star, but I think he'll be vibrationally more and more involved in integrating with you. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. So is he, like, tracking me, tracking my life?
Not until you call him in. He was a master of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
And he's, now again, I want to cry, that's him, but what I'm seeing is that he is coming to terms with the fact that he has avoided. And you know what, Jaya, he admires you. When he looks, he sees I can't get the word right, it's something like he sees a kind of a royal drive in your spirit self to move beyond these limitations that he let himself have. You don't avoid it. You're very courageous. You're extremely sensitive. You're very creative, and he admires that, and he wants you to know this. Now, he's coming forward, but he's also pulling back a little bit, but not like he did at the beginning of this talk, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, thank you.
And you look a little like him, don't you? Do you look like him?
I look a lot like him.
Yeah. That's
I look a lot like him.
And he's, you know what his final thing is today? Because he'd like to be in touch again. Maybe I can help you with that. But he feels more honored, more awake than he has felt for quite a long time. And that's
good.
Do with you. So you're doing a great job.
Oh, good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. That was a courageous call.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, Jaya. Now we have someone else online. Hello. Are you there? Hello. I don't know if I can hear anybody. Are you there?
I have to. It should be Bushma. Should reintroduce me because I want to forget what she looks like now.
What? I think we've got a cross wire here.
I think maybe we do.
Okay.
I'd be happy to ask.
Hi.
Oh, good. There's somebody.
Okay. Hello.
I am. Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Okay. Great.
Do you have a question?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Do you have a question? Maybe you should. Hello? Okay. Okay, Mackie, do you have a question?
Yes. I would like to ask you if you see a relationship coming into my life.
I sure do, and it's new. You haven't been on your own for very long. And I want to say it has to do with you ripening, meaning getting balance, bringing in higher frequency energies again, integrating with a new sense of self, because what you've gone through is kind of a rebirth period. And this gentleman is coming in, and he is a gentleman with a very big perspective. And he's elegant, he's refined, and he can see, how can I put this? He's not a psychic, I don't think, but he can see you and who you are. He can see that you're valuable, he can see that you're creative, and he wants to play and laugh with you, and it's really going to be nice. And he's coming in within a month or so.
My goodness.
Yeah. You might even find you get swept off your feet, darling.
That sounds wonderful to me.
But I think it's a long-termer, meaning I don't think you'll have a series of relationships. I think this is it.
Oh, good. Thanks. I'd prefer that.
And guess what? He's a really handsome dresser.
Oh, now, that's so nice. And has Ed had something to do with this?
He does indeed. Now, Ed, for those people who don't know, is Mackie's husband who departed, a year ago?
A year and 5 months.
A year and 5 months ago. And he's very much engineering. We look at Jaya's father, who's very active. Well, Ed is very, very conscious. And he's engineering a connection for his wife. And he's laughing right now because he likes to be on global radio. Ed was a character. But he's saying that you have the ability. No, but one moment. You have been, he's saying trifling. He says that you have been selling yourself short in some relationships, but this one is not going to be like that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to sell yourself short at all. You're going to stand up very tall, and there's going to be a lot of adventure, meaning some travel and some explorations of concepts and ideas that are going to be very intriguing for you. And it will give you a zest, or a zest in life. One thing about relationships, and a lot of you at home know this, that if you can focus on growing together, not in staying secure and staying even keeled, but if you can focus on growing, both of you, then sometimes you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know that you really don't have a pogo stick, Mackie. But Ed's really very much involved in this, and he likes this fellow. And this fellow and Ed, from the other side, are great buddies. You know how the soul comes into an incarnation, but part of the soul is still on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And he and Ed, he shows it this way. Ed and he are very good friends on that other side.
Wow.
So they're in cahoots, you see.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
And this person is he's metaphysical and spiritual as well.
Very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is very exciting.
And he's very educated, and he's really bright. And now we have another caller, and you are on the air. Thank you for your call, Max.
Oh, thank you very much, Veronica.
Okay. We have a caller.
Hello,
on
Veronica.
Hi.
It's Joy.
Hi, Joy. It's been a while. How are you, darling?
Good, good. I've been to Peru and back, and lots of exciting times down there.
Wow. You did the Machu Picchu thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Ceremonies all the way, and it was interesting because I was really, really affected at a couple sites that had ET connections. Sase
wow.
Woman
oh.
Was really one, and had visions of the condor and a heart, and was told that I had gone up another level, and had a young girl in the gift shop down there hug me and say, "Oh my God, I see your power." So it was pretty exciting.
Oh wow! When did you get back, Joy?
December 25th, actually, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, Christmas morning.
So it was
because then
Santa
then
Claus.
has your work? Because I know that Joy channels and wants to work with people, mm-hmm. but it should really bump your work up, does it?
It is, and the last I felt was that I was told I need to give myself permission. Mm-hmm. There's some kind of part of me that I needed to give myself permission, and I am seeing more things through my eyes and lights and hearing voices and waking up at 3 in the morning with someone calling my name or the phone ringing and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So there
How
is
exciting.
Some stuff happening. But what I was going to ask is, we moved provinces and nothing is working like it did before.
What province are you in, darling?
It's New Brunswick now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit sparse. It's kind of empty of a lot of metaphysics, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's more. It's starting to become more, but my feeling is it's weird because there isn't any work, and in a way it's bothering me. So I was going to ask if you see any, my husband and I, getting any work. And in another way, before I left Peru, one lady said to me, she said, "I don't think you're going to have an ordinary job when you get back, Joy." And that's kind of what I'm getting as well.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to ever have an ordinary job again.
That's kind of what I was feeling.
Maybe you'll do galactic tour guidance.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a guess? Because I really feel like your job is going to be, it's like by phone or by Skype or something. It's going to be all over the place. It won't matter if you're in New Brunswick or anywhere else.
That's what I'm feeling. And I did have it confirmed that I was receiving guidance. And the interesting thing is, I don't know, in 2006 I bought a crystal, a Lemurian seed crystal.
Okay.
In 2009, I had an energy reading where I was asked if I was studying any ancient texts, and I said no, I didn't know what they were talking about. And they said I would channel high energies and be teaching about this ancient text. I go to Peru, and I see these markings on this crystal, and one of the guys there with us seen them, but the other people couldn't see anything, so he said, "Ask Jorge," who was a guide who's been on Ancient Aliens. He's quite knowledgeable. And he says, in a shocked voice, that it's ancient Incan texts.
So these are your ancient texts, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild, eh?
I think it's wonderful. So you're really a good call, Joy, because you're really a good example about how we're literally taken to the very places we need to go to be activated. And you're being activated, and I don't see that where you are is going to make any darn difference, because the activation is going to come through. You're going to have people calling you from a distance, and it doesn't matter where you are. You might even move.
You know what?
But your husband, I'm worried about.
Pardon?
I'm worried about your husband because it's harder on his morale, his ego.
Yeah. So do you see anything maybe for him?
Yeah, what kind of work does he normally do? Because he's going to get...
Management.
Okay.
Engineering background.
Yeah, because he's going to get a job that's more in his realm, but he's going to get a little stir-crazy in it after a while, and he, too, will start to bloom kind of like you are, only not quite the same. You know how it's never the same? It's like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll
I wondered
launch.
If... That's what I was wondering. I almost had a vision of me... of him getting something in the interim, and then I could go into my stuff and connect more, and then almost like I'm becoming an example for maybe him and the family.
But you know what else? It's not just an example, honey. It's that we radiate out this consciousness that's moving through you in your channeling and so on, and he's going to get activated by it, you see?
Oh, cool.
It's going to become quite amazing in the household. And so I'm very excited. I'm going to have to go here. They're going to hook me off stage.
Yep.
But I'm delighted to hear from you, and I'm so pleased you went to Peru. And I'm so pleased that you're reaching the higher levels of self.
Amazing. So for people out there, it does happen.
It sure does, and I'm very pleased you called in. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, gosh, we've had a very lively discussion tonight, and I want to thank all of you who participated and all of you who are listening to Radiance by Design. Tuesday night is Paradigm Shifters, and I'm not sure if we're going to do a Oneness Blessings one, or I'm going to find, I have to do the work yet to find out if Vladimir Turek, who talks about healing and multidimensionality, or William Henry that I spoke of earlier, I don't know which of them I can have on for Tuesday night. So stay tuned or sign up on my website, veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, veronicaentwistle.com. And thank you so much for all of you being so diligent about taking in higher frequencies and putting them out onto the planet. And let's make a difference while we can. All right, good night. Thank you again for listening, and many, many blessings.